Good morning and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. This afternoon, the lesson is going to be sharing some pictures that I took when I was in Israel to help enrich some of the book of Ezekiel. Just finished a class on that on Sunday mornings, and I believe that we can better understand some of what was said through some of these pictures by looking at the lowest place on the surface of the earth. And also, I believe we will find some great encouragement in that. But this morning, I want us to begin another series on the theme for the year. We just finished the theme of the year for last year, looking at unity, being of the same mind, doing our part. And as we concluded that, one of the things that we did was we looked back through the past few thousand years and observed the history of those who have been striving to follow Christ and how they have been ridiculously divided. And we stated then that we're not going to ignore history, we're going to defy it. Well, this year's theme is honoring God. And it may seem like that's a really obvious one, that throughout time everybody has had this concept of we should worship God, we should lift Him up and glorify Him. But the truth is that in this one as well, we must not ignore history, we must defy it. And that is where I want to begin with this morning, is I want us to begin with this concept of, yeah, we should honor God, but do you realize that throughout the Bible, most of the time God looked at His people and was not honored. He was not pleased. He was not glorified. And I want to establish that this morning to make it more important for us to really focus on what we're going to try to accomplish this year and, of course, beyond. What it means to honor is it's referring to placing high value on something or someone. It is to put them on the mantelpiece. That is, where they're the focus of your house, where they are elevated above other things. And so when we say honoring God, what we are describing is putting the value on God that He deserves in our lives. And there are many scriptures, many different words that you're going to see within scriptures that describe this concept. And so I came up with 10 and that you should be looking for as you study that are describing this idea of honoring God. And it's not a significant list. In other words, it's not satisfactory. There are some words missing. Honor, treat as holy, to revere, to praise, to fear, to exalt, to respect, to glorify, to esteem, and to magnify. A guy here this morning said, wow, I forgot one really obvious one. Worship, and that would be on here. So when you see the word worship, that's talking about honoring God. And there's an 11th one I'll add on top of the 11th one, which would make it 12th now. And that is to love. When you see within the scriptures this description of love, that is talking about honoring God, exalting Him, lifting Him up. Now let's open up our Bibles, and we're going to start off in the book of Malachi. In Malachi, we're looking at the last book of the Old Testament, not just in order, but chronologically. This is the last words that the prophets wrote down before this time of silence and before Jesus came. And what that means is this comes a little bit after the Babylonian captivity. And in the Babylonian captivity, we had the people of God facing the consequences of their sinful attitude and their sinful behavior towards God. And when they, after 70 years, are restored back to their land, we see a renewed spirit within the people. They had learned their lesson. They once again fall into sin, and somebody points it out to them, and they quickly fix it, and they say, what are we thinking? What are we doing? We've got to correct this. Well, when Malachi comes around, they've lost that new spirit. They've lost that concept of putting God above all else. And so I want us to consider Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, in which God complains about the worship of the people. And He says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? And he goes on and he describes their sacrifices. And he says, look at what you're offering to me, and it is not satisfactory. It is something you wouldn't give to the people of the world. You wouldn't give to a king or an elevated person, but you say it's good for me. But what we see within here is two things. We see God expects to be honored. He's looking at them and saying, you should be honoring me. And then we see that so frequently God doesn't get what he deserves and what he expects. And so he asks them that question, where is my honor? Well, then a little bit later on in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2, God says, if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. And so the prophet Malachi brings this message to them, warning them, saying, if you don't start honoring God, he is going to be against you. In fact, he already is against you because you are not honoring his name. And so here, this people that should have known better, this people that should have had this concept of honoring God above all else, leave God wanting more. Where is my honor? And leave God warning them, he will be against them because they haven't done it. See, if you think that this year's theme, honoring God, means, well, let's sing songs that are lively, you're missing the point. That's been throughout time. There's something more here. Something more that we must accomplish. God, throughout time, as we see within Scripture, is frequently not honored the way he should be. And that's not because the people aren't worshiping him. It's not because they're not religious and they're not performing what we'll call acts of worship. No, in fact, we find that he's not honored even while being worshiped. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13 is a passage that should be familiar to us, even if we don't know it from its original context. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lips, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Jesus quotes from here in Matthew chapter 15 when the people are complaining about one of the things his disciples doing, and he goes off on them and he says, you guys are the ones who have a problem. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you. And then he quotes Isaiah 29 and verse 13 and says, in vain do they worship me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men. And so the issue wasn't that they weren't worshiping. These people were honoring him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. Their worship was in vain, not absent, just empty, worthless. Oh, and the people loved to worship. In Isaiah's time, that was certainly true. In Isaiah chapter 1, the problem with them was not that they just failed to go to the temple and offer up anything. No, that wasn't the problem. They did that in a lot. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. I don't believe that God could have insulted the people much more than to have looked at God's people, his own people, and said, you guys are the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. And so when Isaiah begins this book, this prophecy, he's describing a people that are incredibly religious, a people who love to worship, who love these acts of praise, who are offering up sacrifices, having constant assemblies, offering up incense and praying to God. And God looks at it and uses such strong language as, that stuff is an abomination to me. I hate it, and I wish you would stop trampling my courts. No, the problem wasn't a lack of worship. The problem was a lack of honor. Honoring is something more than just saying words that God is great. It is about putting true value on God in our heart and in our lives. And so the same thing maintains itself in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus describes the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the Pharisee who's praying, well, it says praying to himself, but he's trying to pray to God in the temple, and what he starts talking about is his ways of worship. I fast. I pay tithes. These are acts of worship. Have you ever considered how many times in the Scriptures we see people worshiping God and God not happy with it? That's not an uncommon thing. So if you think this year's theme is, well, we're just going to worship God more, and you're thinking about more lively songs, and you're thinking about more songs and more prayers, you're missing it. That's the result of honoring God. But it is not the essence of it. Well, Leviticus chapter 10, we see the priests offering up worship to God, offering up sacrifices in such a way that ultimately gets them killed. It says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Now here they're offering up a sacrifice to God. They've just changed the way it's done. God didn't say to do it this way. And so in verse 2 it says, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Why did they die? They're offering up worship to God, aren't they? Well, verse 3 explains, then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron therefore kept silent. Those were Aaron's sons who had just died. But Moses had convinced him that they had not honored God in their worship. So even while being worshipped, God has frequently not been honored. God has frequently not been honored by those who should know to honor him. We go to another priest now in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we look at the high priest Eli. And this is an interesting case because Eli's not, he's not a horrible guy. We don't find Eli having committed these horrendous sins. What we find with Eli is he has wicked sons. And his wicked sons are serving as priests, and they are doing things incorrectly. They are not offering up the sacrifices the way they're supposed to, and they are also committing sexual sins with the women that are at the temple. But Eli, those are just his sons. And we even see in verses 22 and 25 that Eli rebukes his sons for the wickedness that they're committing. But that's all he does. He just rebukes them. He asks them why they're doing it. He tells them to stop. So in verse 27, then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all of the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me? by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel. And he goes on from there and thus pronounces judgment on Eli. He says, you've honored your sons above me. Well, he had rebuked his sons, but he hadn't stopped them. He hadn't applied the law to them to have them stoned for their wickedness, to have them killed and removed from the office of priest. Oh, he rebuked them, but he didn't go far enough. And in that process and in that step, God looks at him and says, you chose them over me. You've elevated them. You've honored them. Even in your rebuke against them, you've honored them instead of me. Well, in Isaiah chapter 43, again, the people of God, they should know. They should know to honor God. Isaiah chapter 43, starting verse 20, it talks about these filthy beasts of the earth. They will honor God. He says, the beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. And so it seems like, oh, yes, the people of God are going to glorify him. But he goes on immediately there in verse 22, yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me not sweet cane with money, nor have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. And so here are these people that should have glorified God, but instead he says, you're not doing it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, in this case, I don't think we're looking at God's people in the sense of looking at the Israelites, nor is looking at Christians. I think we're just looking at mankind as a whole. And in fact, that is exactly what Paul is trying to establish here in Romans, is that all men have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and we all should have known better. And so Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And so here he says that they should have known better, they should have seen better, but they did not honor God. What they did instead was honor themselves. They lift up their own thoughts, their own ways of thinking, professing to be wise, and thus became fools. And they did not honor God because they changed the nature of God as though God was in their hands. And truly, idolatry is that way. Idolatry is this idea of I will take a tree or I will take a rock and I, man, will create God as I see him. And then, of course, you can control him. You can take him with you wherever you go. Such arrogance, besides being against God's command, simply does not honor him as he deserves. And God is frequently not honored by those who have received so much from him. By the people who should be realizing, I have received so many blessings and things that were impossible for me to have accomplished on my own, God has given me. And so we should then value him above all the things we have. But for whatever reason, so many times, those who have received so much forget to honor him the way he deserves. And so in Luke chapter 17, we have 10 individuals with an incurable disease. They are lepers, outcasts, and truly a hopeless situation. But Jesus comes upon them and he cures them. Their disease is just wiped away. Now one of them, in verse 15 of Luke 17, now one of them when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was not one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. But here these 9 people who have been cured of an incurable disease, and what do? They forget to honor God. They forget to glorify God. They forget to come back and give thanks. And this is not going to be an unusual thing. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, when Paul, through the Holy Spirit, tells us about the things to come, he says in verse 1, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. And then he starts describing men. And this is a description of men throughout time, really. It says, for men will be lovers of self rather and lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. That ungrateful is a term to say they will not honor God the way he deserves. And so God is frequently honored, not honored, and Jesus was indeed the same way, not properly honored. In John chapter 8, what we had read for us this morning, John chapter 8, verse 48, the Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. And he sets an example for us here. He says, but I honor my Father. And you dishonor me. That becomes even more significant if you look at what Jesus said earlier in John chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. It says, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so Jesus is telling us the way we treat Jesus is the way we treat God. The way we value Jesus is the way we will value God. And so when mankind dishonored Jesus, they were dishonoring God and how we dishonored Jesus. In Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the rulers of the land, they had a problem with Jesus. He was a real problem. The people were starting to listen to him. The people were thinking he would be king instead of them. And they wanted to do away with him. But they were, of course, afraid of the people because the people thought of him as a prophet. And so they needed to find a way to do it privately. And they couldn't figure out where to catch him, when to do it. And then here comes Judas. And Judas says, how much will you give me to betray him? How much is he worth? And so they measured out 30 shekels of silver. And this was to fulfill a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, in which there's this shepherd who has been taking care of the people, and they've been complaining about the way he's been doing it. They don't like what he's doing. And so starting in verse 11, so it says, so it was broken on that day, and thus the afflicted of the flock who were watching me realized that it was the word of the Lord. I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages, but if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And this is all a prophecy talking about the betrayal of Jesus and what happens with that money and ultimately the death of Judas. But look at this. Look at verse 13 again. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. When Judas comes to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and says, how much will you give me to betray him? And they say 30 shekels. What they have said in Exodus 21 and verse 31 under the old law If you're a beast of burden, if you had a bull and it gored somebody else's slave, it killed a slave, the price that you were to give was 30 shekels of silver. Jesus was worth a slave to them. These are the people of God. And that is the magnificent honor given to God. And so we have this theme this year. Let's honor God. We don't ignore history. We're going to defy it again. And throughout time, the people that called themselves God's people have not lifted up God's name. They have not glorified Him the way He deserved. And we have set it as our goal and our theme to be different. That when God looks down upon us in our worship and in our lives, when He looks in our hearts and in our minds, that He will be pleased, that He will see that He is elevated above anything else, above all else. That there is no conflict in our minds and in our hearts as far as priorities go. There is nothing that we love in any way, shape, or form close to what we love, to the way that we love God. So what is our goal for this year? Essentially, the lessons and the classes that you're going to hear are going to come down to these things. It is recognizing God's value, truly realizing how much He is worth to us and declaring it to Him. We're going to strive to remember God, unlike the 9 who had been healed of leprosy and forgot to give Him honor. We're going to recognize the things that He has given us, and we're going to lift Him up for it. And remember Him no matter how busy our life gets, no matter how many distractions there are. We're going to say none of those things are worthy of us forgetting our Almighty God. And what we're going to strive to do then is honor God, not our way, but His way, to truly give Him the glory and the praise He deserves. And may it never be that God would look down upon us as a group, or upon you as an individual, and ask, where is my honor? And so I look forward to the theme this year, and I look forward to the discussions and the examinations, that we might truly glorify God the way He deserves. And I want to spend some time looking at just that idea of why God deserves such glory and honor, among many other things. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your attention this morning. If there are any here who are not Christians, you have truly dishonored God. I know you may not think of it that way. You've just been living your life. You've just been doing the things that you want to do, but you have truly dishonored God. Because God has honored you. He has said, this is how valuable you are to me, and He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And if you're not a Christian, what you're doing is you're saying, well, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm not going to change the way I live just because God offered up His Son to die on the cross for me. And you're saying Jesus isn't worth that much. Jesus isn't worth your heart. He isn't worth your time. He isn't worth changing your life. And you have truly dishonored God. You want to honor Him? Right now, decide, I will follow His Son. I will make Him the master of my life. I will accept this gift of salvation and the adoption of one of His children and the forgiveness of my sins. So if you're not a Christian, but you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it's time to take action. It's time to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, if you're a Christian and you have let your life be filled with sin or distractions, consider how you have honored God, the value you have put on Him. You have said the passing pleasure of sin is worth more. You have said the things that distract you in this world are worth more. And you have insulted Him, and you have hurt Him, and He wants you back. And so do we. Remember what really has value. Come back to God. Come back to the truth. We will pray for you, and God will forgive you. It's a promise. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?